Please be seated, everybody. Let's open in prayer. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. It's in one of the three Ocean 11, 12, 13 movies. There's a scene in one of those, and you all familiar with that set of movies. It's a fun set of movies where these lovable bad guys, they're all crooks. They're lovable crooks, though, and they're very handsome. It's Matt Damon and George Clooney and all that stuff. But they're lovable. And there's a bad crook that's worse than they are. And so these lovable crooks steal money from the bad crook. And all of us fall in love with the lovable crooks because, after all, it's Matt Damon and George Clooney. Anyway, in one of the films, there's a scene where one of the lesser crooks is waiting for the heist to happen. And his role is to wait at an airport terminal and to hear of when the heist has been completed so he can do his mission, whatever his mission is. He's got an earpiece in, and he's in a crowded airport terminal, and he just gets word that the heist has been completed to the point where it's his role. And he starts going, woohoo, yay! And all of a sudden he realizes he gets a crowd. And then he goes, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's a great scene in the movie, and especially for us, from those who have been exposed to Western Christendom, is that it's kind of a safe thing to say, like, he's gathering a crowd, oh, he's one of those religious nuts who's filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when we think of the idea of the Holy Spirit, especially as it's talked about in media, like on television and others, it's very difficult for us to understand if the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, then what is this person like? What is it? Does he create that kind of exuberance in all of us? Do we have to have that manifestation to have the Holy Spirit? There are several movements in North America that kind of give you that idea. 30 years ago, there was a movement in Toronto in which a large number of professing Christians got together, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to laugh. And so for 3 or 4 months, there was this conference of laughing Christians that would literally go to Toronto and pray. And the way they demonstrated that they were possessed with the Holy Spirit, they were laughing. And that laughing turned into roaring like a lion, because they were indwelt with the Spirit of Jesus, who's the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is the lion from the tribe of Judah, so went from laughing to roaring like a lion. And you think, do I have to laugh like that? Do I have to roar like a lion? And others say, no, all you have to do is be a follower of Jesus, and if you believe in the Scriptures and you trust in Jesus, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. I believe that too. But who is this person? Is there a practical and yet kind of a mysterious way that we can understand the third person of the one God? There's one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think there is. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the person of the Holy Spirit briefly, and also what it is to be acquainted with that person, and what it is to kind of see that person in other people as well, in a way that is somewhat practical and yet very incomplete, because this is just a 15-minute quick discussion on the Holy Spirit. Well, what can you hang your hat on? If there's something you can Velcro, like what's the theological Velcro for the Holy Spirit? It's this one idea. The Holy Spirit is the source of all life. Wherever there is life, any kind of life, cosmic life, relational life, spiritual life, physical life of humans, animals, fish, anything that is animated or non-animated, the source of all life is the Holy Spirit. And this is not just a Christian idea. This is a Judeo-Christian idea. In fact, it may surprise you that the Holy Spirit is really the first person that is described in the Bible. He's in the second verse of the very first book, in Genesis chapter 1. The first verse of Genesis 1 is a summary verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's Moses is saying, by way of the Holy Spirit, parenthetically, because it's the Holy Spirit that gave him utterance. But he says, in the beginning, God created all the heavens and the earth. The heavens meaning not the stuff, not sky and cloud, but heavens meaning the spiritual realm, the spiritual stuff. And then God created the earth, the material stuff, the cosmos, the universe, or the multiverse, because who knows what's out there. And then he begins to unpack this whole idea of, okay, if God created all spiritual reality and all material reality, what did it look like? And this is the picture he gave. He says, the earth was dark and void, or full of chaos in Hebrew. Wobu tobohu is what it is. It's this wonderful kind of Hebrew rap is what it is. And that's why the Jews could remember it, because it's very lyrical. The earth was dark and void and full of chaos. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was what? Light. So where there was this big cosmic mess, God breathed life into it. And when God breathed life into it, there was what? Life. And that's where we get in our creed that we just said this morning, and we say every Sunday morning, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, because he's not a force, he's not a power, he's not a principle, he's a person that can be loved and grieved and worshipped and vilified, accepted into our life, rejected. He's the Lord, and he's the giver of life. So wherever you see life sprouting, anywhere, any kind of life, spiritual life, physical life, the Holy Spirit is involved in there somewhere because he's the giver of all life from the very beginning of time. All right, well, if the Lord's the giver of life, then what is the relationship between the Father? Because the Father we know is the author of everything, and the Son is Jesus. And Jesus, we can understand because he's the Son of God. What is the relationship between Jesus and the Father and the Spirit? Well, the Spirit is really the manifestation or the actual personal representation of the relationship between the Father and the Son. I'll give you an idea. Have you ever been with people that know each other a long time? And if they know each other a long time, they have their own kind of language, their own way of doing things. And you could even say there's like a spirit among them. They have a way of doing stuff. I was accused of that. I didn't mention this in the first service, but I was thinking about this. I grew up with, there's five kids in my family, two girls and three boys. And as I grew up, I'm the second oldest of five. The two girls had their own rooms because they're girls. And all three boys shared the same bedroom, a bedroom that my mom went into probably four times in my entire life growing up. Because there were three boys living in that, and they 7 years separated us. And so I was the oldest of three boys. I'm 4 years older than my middle brother and another 2.5 years older than my youngest brother. And so there we were, from the time I was seven and from the time they were born, we all shared the same room that our parents never went to, which was totally awesome. It was our holy. And so we developed our own language. We developed our own sense of humor. And to this day, when I get together with my brothers, if people are not they don't know us, it's a little bit strange because we begin talking in a very strange way and we find each other very funny and people looking at us like, what are they talking about? And my brother-in-law says, there's kind of a spirit you guys have. You know what I'm talking about? A spirit that they have and of the community that you have together. Well, what if the spirit between the Father and Son is so beautiful, that kind of community, that love that they have, that it actually manifests itself as a whole other person that unites you to them both? That's the Holy Spirit. And in fact, I want to read you something. Jonathan Edwards, who's a... by the way, my brother-in-law feels like he's part of that spirit now, so we're not inclusive. We're not exclusive. We're inclusive. We try to include people in that, so we don't try to push people out. But Jonathan Edwards, who's a great American theologian, and from our strand, by the way, he's from kind of the Presbyterian side. All his writings now are found at Yale University. Yale University has all his philosophical and theological writings. They're very expensive, but you can find several of them online for free. So don't buy the Yale University publication. You can get online free. And in a little treatise he had called Treatise on Grace, listen to what Jonathan Edwards says about the person of the Holy Spirit. I think this is one of the best treatments. He says this, because he's even as smart as Jonathan Edwards is, and he's really smart. He struggled with the idea. He said, the Holy Spirit is the delight that the Father and the Son have in each other. It's that spirit, that community. And he, the Holy Spirit, carries in himself so fully the essence of the Father and the Son that he himself stands forth as a third person in his own right. Now, there's an example of that in the Bible. When Jesus was baptized, when Jesus became our great high priest, he was baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. And he was beginning to die for us because he wanted to live forever with us. So he was born to die so that we can live. Why? Because, well, he's full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's the source of all life. And when he was baptized, the Bible says that a voice came from heaven and said, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Do you remember that? There's that community. And then what appeared and rested on the top of Jesus? The dove. The essence of that relationship rested upon him. that love between the Father and the Son. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to die so all those that I love can enter into this communion. It's as though there's the Father and the Son, and they're having this great, wonderful relationship. And the Holy Spirit says, and I'm going to invite everybody in on it. This is too good to keep to ourselves. And that's his role, is to invite and bring people in. Now, he's the third person of the Trinity. So that's, if you think of it, the Holy Spirit, that's who he is. He's the source of life. And he invites people in. And he also works in a very mysterious yet practical way. And that's why Jesus says, well, the Holy Spirit's kind of like wind. And he's talking about this in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, he's having a discussion with a Jewish theologian, a man by the name of Nicodemus, who was very smart and was talking to Jesus because he knew Jesus was even smarter. But he came to him at night because he didn't want his friends to see that he's talking to an uneducated carpenter. And he says, I don't get this whole stuff about God and being born from above and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, well, you have to be born of the water and born of the Spirit. You have to be born through, you know, through the amniotic fluid of your mother, but you also have to be born by God coming into your life. And that person that invites you into that relationship with the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. He says, well, what's it look like? He goes, well, you ever seen wind? And he says, he's like wind. And the wind blows where it wills. The wind, in other words, the Spirit is free, like wind is free. And I don't mean that like wind costs anything, but the wind is free to go in any direction. And Jesus says that the love of God is such that he blows on all kinds of people. And you don't see wind directly, but you see the very things that wind affects. And it's good to know the difference between affect and effect. Remember that? And you fifth grade teachers love this. You're like, oh, good, we got some grammar coming up. Okay, affect and effect. Affect means a change, a transformation. Effect means result. So the Holy Spirit causes an affect, a change in us, but he also brings an effect, which is a result. And what's the result? That we love God, that we love the Father through Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But do we see the Holy Spirit? Well, no, but we see what the Holy Spirit touches. Just like you don't see wind. You don't see wind, but you see the things that the wind blows. And very often God says if someone has the gift of the Holy Spirit, then you see the effect. By the way, who has that gift? Okay, every Christian does. A Christian is a Christ follower. A Christian is someone who says, I love Jesus. And if Jesus is loved by someone, he lives inside of them. Whether they're this tall, or this old, or way old, it doesn't matter. If you confess Jesus, you have that presence. You have that person in you. I just want to establish that from the beginning. It's not something that has to happen by you giving a certain amount of money to an organization or doing certain things or saying a certain prayer. If you confess Jesus, you have this person in you. All Christians do. So what's he look like? Well, he is that manifestation of the love of the Father. And what happens, though, is that when we begin to love Jesus, and if you begin to love Jesus, it causes changes. It might even cause changes in your families. Some people, when they begin to love Jesus and they're married or they have a mom or dad, or they are a mom or dad, it can change family dynamics. And it can be uncomfortable at first. It can be kind of like that Genesis 1 verses 2, the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the deep. And it can be threatening to relationships because a new person is introduced. But know this, that God is the source of life. And if you're married or if you're at home with your folks or if you're an adult and you're raising your children and they're a little freaked out that you're starting to love Jesus, it's going to be okay, everybody, because God is the source of life in your family. And he wants your families to flourish. He wants your marriage to flourish. He wants your work life to flourish. So please be patient with each other. Please be patient. Don't be freaked out by this. It's a good thing when the Holy Spirit comes in the life of someone. Well, how do we get him? How do we get the Holy Spirit? In Titus chapter 3, that was read to you this morning by Doug, it says that we get the Holy Spirit through a gift. If you have a longing to love God, and you realize that you're tired of all the stuff going on in your life, and you love God, and you say to God, yes, I need you, and if you give me your son, I'll take him, then God says, I give you my son, and that demonstration is that my spirit's going to live inside your body, and you're mine. and now you're going to love me. And it says in Titus that we are washed by and the renewal of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so it's a very practical thing where we just, the love of God is in our hearts. Now here's a couple of things that we need to learn about this. We have to be very, very generous with Christians. The Holy Spirit blows where he wills on all different kinds of people. And the way we articulate the presence of God is different. In some traditions you say, well, have you accepted Jesus in your heart? That's their way of saying, are you a Christian? In other traditions, they say, have you been baptized? Or have you been confirmed? Or have you had your first communion? Or have you confessed Christ as Lord? These are all different ways of saying, I love God the Father through Jesus. And anyone who says, I love God the Father through Jesus, it's because the Holy Spirit is in them. And so what I'm asking of you all is that we would be truly Catholic with a small c. Catholic means universal. That anyone who says they love the Father through Jesus, they're a Christian. Now, they may not say it your way or my way, but if they love the Father through the Son, they're a Christian. And the Holy Spirit is an artist, and he's also, if I can say this kindly, the mother of all who belong to God because they're birthed into his family through the Spirit. And everyone is different, and their way of describing their love of the Father is different. And very often Christians think, well, the way that I love God through Jesus, you have to express it my way because this is what happened to me. No, I don't. No, you don't. You express it your own way. So we have to be very gracious. And I hate the fact that Christians are suspect of other Christians who don't talk about their Christian faith the way they do. Let's just stop that and accept one another. Paul says that if the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, it's because of the Holy Spirit. So if someone loves God, they got the Holy Spirit. So let's be like that crazy guy in that Ocean's 11 movie. Wow, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. But you say it way weird. You say it different than me. That's okay. Holy Spirit works in us differently. But if you love Jesus, that's because Jesus has loved you and you trust him. And so we have to be generous with others. The other thing, too, is that you got to be generous with yourself. You know, in Titus, it sounds like Paul saying that everyone is... their lives are so much improved. We used to hate each other. Now we're kind and gentle, and I'm not there yet. If you love God, God is inside of you, and he's in the process of cleaning you up. That's called sanctification. But first and foremost, here's the thing that's been most important, is that you've been made a member of God's family by his grace, and he lives in you, and you're going to be okay if you trust in him. So you have to have a modicum of generosity with yourself. I love this one statement that Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I refer to it often. It's on page 14. He says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And that word sufficiency is also translated competency. If there's any competency in us as a community, as we love each other and love God, who is the source of that competency? If there's any sufficiency of how we do life together at all, where does it come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Okay, how does that work out practically? You've had a bad day. You're not loving your kids real well. You're not loving your work real well. You're not loving yourself real well. You're just kind of generally sucking at life this day. And you have very little love for everything. But there's just a little bit of love in there, a little tiny bit of love that leaks out of you. And yet something good comes from that little bit of love. Who is birthing life in that little bit of love and making that little bit of love sufficient and competent in your life? Who's doing it? The Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's the source of life. Why? Because he loves you. Why? Because he lives in you. Why? Because he's yours. The Holy Spirit is the person of God that dwells in us, that unites us to Jesus, that makes us competent, that makes us love him, that helps us love others, that will never leave us nor forsake us. The Holy Spirit is the inviter to that great community of the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is ours through the gift of Jesus, and all we have to do is receive him and say, Lord Jesus, I confess you. And Jesus moves in by his Holy Spirit. Reach out for that gift. He wants all of you to have it. And I'll just say this in closing. In Acts chapter 2, it's very important that you understand that the Holy Spirit is kind of the hippie person of the Trinity. In Acts chapter 2, what we're used to seeing that very often in the Bible, in the Old Testament, New Testament, God's presence is usually in notable men, accomplished men, mostly men that are middle-aged like me, Jewish men, Gentile men, but the leaders in the Bible are always mostly men, right? Mostly men of kind of working age, 30 to 50. And those, the imperium, it's called in theological terms, the Jewish imperium, the Christian imperium, they dwell in guys like me and Doug. We're like the 50-plus guys. And you think, well, you guys have the Holy Spirit because you're like the imperium. On the day of Pentecost, when God said, my kids who trust in Jesus, I'm going to live in them. On the day of Pentecost, God says, I'm going to show you who gets first dibs of me. And on the day of Pentecost, what it says in Acts chapter 2, he says that your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men and old women will see dreams. You know what God the Holy Spirit is saying? When I go into the hearts of my people, I'm not going to start with the Jewish and Christian imperium. I'm not going to start with the guys that are 30 to 50 necessary. Although he loves guys 30 to 50, by the way. I'm going to start with the kids that go to Gospel Journey. Your young men and young women, they'll dream. Isn't that awesome? And I'm going to start with those people that you think need to be retired and put away. Your old men and your old women will dream dreams. And I'm also going to start with your manservants and your maidservants. Oh, yeah, the immigrant workers, the kids that never go to college, the kids that never even finish high school and just get a GED. Maybe they get me too. Why is God doing that? Because he's saying that when you trust in Jesus, no matter your station in your life, I am free to live in you, and I love you, and I don't just work in the Christian imperium and the Jewish imperium. I don't just work in men between 30 and 50. I love all of them. I love all of them. And so please don't denigrate the measure of the Holy Spirit if you're not in the demographic group of a white guy or a Jewish guy 30 to 50. Because the Holy Spirit loves to live in all of his people. And if you confess the name of Christ, he does. He lives in you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us. Father, thank you for making all things. Holy Son, thank you for coming into this world, living for us and giving us a picture that we can see who you are. And Holy Spirit, thank you for being the very presence of the love of the Father and the Son. And thank you for being the very person of God that lives in our lives and gives us a love for you and for others. And thank you for making us competent and sufficient when we often feel terribly incompetent and insufficient. But you are gracious. We love you and we thank you. And we celebrate you and pray in your name. Amen.